Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome in. Another edition here of Mean Streets, live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic weekend, a really good Thanksgiving for my American family there, and a little bit of a reset as we wrap up week 12 of the NFL season tonight. The Vikings and the Bears are going to go over that game in a little bit. We have some picks and some props for you guys in just a touch. Also, I feel like it's been a minute since I've given some NHL plays as well on Mean Streets. I know we have Dangle Batselli, so we're going to do that towards the end of the show as well. We got a couple NHL props, busy slate on the ice tonight. We're going to have the article over at FTNDaily.com. The fantasy hockey waiver wire article is live over at FTN Fantasy as well. And we're going to have some rankings updated today over at for the hockey people that are looking for a little bit of a refresh, I suppose, with the NHL season now into week 8. But we are going to talk a little bit of what we've seen yesterday in Thanksgiving and on Black Friday. We have some Super Bowl odds for you guys, as well as some MVP odds. And as I mentioned, we got some picks for you as well. We're going to take a look at the playoff picture, all that stuff. If you guys have any questions, leave them there and we'll get to them towards the end of the show. I see Dean is in here asking for rest of the season when it comes to Stroud, Goff, Fields, Lawrence, and Purdy, and Love. So we'll dive into the schedule of those quarterbacks, but I know Goff has got a pretty good one. Really like what I've seen from Purdy. Don't love T-Law's matchups moving forward. We'll get into that stuff in just a little bit. So let's start here with tonight's football game. We got the Bears and Vikings. Minnesota here checking in at 3.5 or 3, according to here. But again, I always reference some of the tools that we have over at FTN Bets, FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy. And by the way, we still are running a promo gravy up until tonight at midnight for 40% off all packages over at FTN. So hopefully your season-long team isn't dead. But this is an annual subscription, so you will not only have it the rest of the way for fantasy football playoffs and, you know, maybe some DFS action in your life. If your teams are finished, then you can, you know, play a little DFS. You can get some of the projections from a betting standpoint, but you're also going to have the content for next year, you know, in the off season when we're doing some articles and season-long draft rankings and projections and dynasty stuff. So it's an annual subscription and it is 40% off using promo code gravy. So 3 across the board. BetMGM was 3.5. It's now down to 3. I like the Vikings to win this game. If you want to back them on the money line, the best I'm seeing is -152 over at Unibet, and for the Bears upset at +136 over at FanDuel. And the total is sitting now currently at 43 across most books. 44 is now gone. 43.5 across most books there. I like the Vikings to win this game. I think we had a pretty good week, you know, from a betting standpoint and sides, and the betting NFL betting show is pretty much perfect. We had a really good week, and hopefully we can finish here strong with some props and some picks. But I have backed the Vikings on the spread in my own pools, in our picks over at FTN Fantasy. We tweet them, you know, every Thursday morning, myself and Ratcliffe and Randall and the crew. I think we're all on Minnesota here as a squad. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. They're actually two of my survivor picks this week. I had the Titans and the Vikings. I had to pick two teams. So I'm in on Minnesota. I've liked what I've seen. I know Fields is back and they upset Detroit last week. I think that was more on the Lions and the 4 turnovers that they had in the game. And I understand the Vikings are among the leaders in turnovers. They haven't really taken care of the football. No Justin Jefferson today. He's not going to be activated. I still think that the Vikings will win this football game. I think it, you know, divisional game, it could certainly be tight. It could be close. Kind of have a lean to the over 43 there, to be honest with you. I've liked a lot of unders over the past couple weeks, you know, diving into the under in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and those were low totals, the Giants and the Pats. It feels like low totals, and you'd feel like, you know, you want to dive into the over on those. But this one here is kind of one of the highest ones, really, of the week. And the other two weren't disappointing. Philly and Buffalo, fantastic. game for sure. And that one, Cruz passed the over. I know you got overtime there to get there. And then also the Texans and the Jags, a really good game, a fun game, that one, the over hit there as well. So I'm in on Minnesota to win this game. I think they win by a field goal. I have the lean to the over. A score prediction, I would say maybe like 27-20. I think the Bears can get a couple touchdowns there. You know, DJ Moore and Justin Fields have been awesome together. We talked last week about DJ Moore and the uptick that he's going to get getting his guy back in Fields. I think he's got 6 touchdowns have all came with Justin Fields. He's basically been a 100-yard wide receiver with Fields as the quarterback there, and the dud games happened when Fields wasn't there. And I've been really impressed with Joshua Dobbs. I think he's played some really good football. He's leaning on his guys and TJ Hawkinson. I got some props here for you guys in this game. So I am going to start with DJ Moore at over 4.5 catches. It's, I don't know what the odds are now. This is the number I put in when I put the picks into the tracker, so we could see some line movement here, and we really are. Yeah, the DJ Moore -132 is gone. The best I'm seeing is -152. Yikes. So maybe we don't get behind that. You could do some sort of same game parlay, 4+ catches, 5+ catches, and 60+ receiving yards. I'd like more to top 16.5, and I like him to have 5 grabs. I like the receiving yards more, just given what he brings to the table with his explosiveness, his yards after the catch, his yards. Per catch, right? This is an explosive player. And week one, we can give him a pass, right? It was the first game. These two were together against Green Bay. But week two against the Bucs, 6 for 104 against the Chiefs. We know that that's a stout defense. He did have a touchdown dud game from him, despite the touchdown, 3 for 41. And then this is where he really took off before the Fields injury happened. 8 for 131 and a touchdown, 8 for 230 and a touchdown. And last week with Justin Fields back in the lineup, 7 for 96 and a touchdown. So I would lean with the receiving yards. I don't think we can get behind the -152 for a catch for 4 catches here. Maybe that moves to 5.5+ money. You could drink a little bit of juice and have the alternate spreads. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about cashing, right? It really is all about cashing. So if you want to go 5+ over at Bet365 and 50+, you know, you could get plus money out of that. You can go alternate. I know on FanDuel will give you like, you know, 50 as well, and you get away from the 60. But if you're picking one of the two here, it would be the receiving yards. I think that he does top 60.5. The other guy here is Ty Chandler. We talked a lot about Ty Chandler here all season long. Before the season started, I was big on Ty Chandler. I was certainly wrong about him being a great sleeper pick, but I feel like the analysis was kind of right in the fact that didn't really believe in Alexander Mattison. I didn't know the squad let go of Dalvin Cook and they brought back Alexander Mattison, but he hasn't been efficient this year. He hasn't taken care of the football. You know, Kevin O'Connell went and got Cam Akers, I think, for some of those reasons. And unfortunately for Cam Akers, he suffered another Achilles injury. And then this is where we've really started to see Ty Chandler become part of the offense. He got them going last week against the Denver Broncos. He was 10 for 73 on the ground. He caught 4 passes for 37 yards. His rushing yard prop is at 30.5 at Unibet. It's tempting considering the last 2 weeks, 15 for 45 and 10 for 73. But the Bears are a really good run defense. I know from a fantasy standpoint, they're inside the top 10 in allowing fantasy points to running backs. They've given up a lot of rushing touchdowns, but they are one of the best when it comes to stuff rate. They're one of the best at eliminating yards per carry. I don't think we'll see Minnesota have a lot of success running the football. You know, Joshua Dobbs is passing attempts at 33.5. We have him for 34. I kind of feel like he may toss in the mid to high 30s in this game if Minnesota can't get going. What I will say is that I don't think it's going to be all Ty Chandler because of a couple things I saw last week. You know, after the fumble that Alexander Mattison had in that game, that really turned the game around. You know, Denver ended up scoring on that after that turnover, and they ended up winning the football game. But after that turnover happened from Madison, and there's been a lot of them from him this year, the first play when the Vikings had the possession next, it was Ty Chandler on the field. And Ty Chandler struggled in pass protection. And that's one thing I think Madison does really well. And I'm not completely sold that Chandler is the third down back here because of that. Although I would say he gets more third down reps, but I have seen a little bit of Madison in third down situations. I do believe because of some of the pass protection issues that Chandler brings to the table. And that first possession, Chandler got run over. He got run over. I forget the defender now. He got his arm on Dobbs, and Dobbs had to turn over, hit his arm, bad pass, and it was a turnover. So it was another turnover on back-to-back plays, basically, mostly because of the running backs. So I'm a little hesitant to jump on the 30.5. The total rushing and receiving at 45.5 is a little bit more appealing to me. 100 total yards the last time we saw him against a defense that's been playing pretty good lately with the Broncos. His catch prop I like as well, but only at BetMGM. It's -135 at 1.5. This is why the prop shop is just so cool, because, you know, when you type in Ty Chandler, it's like Google search. BetMGM -1.5, -135. Bet Rivers 1.5. All of these here from these books are 1.5, but these are the price differences. Bet Rivers -157. DraftKings -160, Caesars -167, and Bet365 -170. This is all 1.5, right? I mean, why not take the -135 as opposed to the -175? This is one as well that you could do over at Bet365. You could have 2+ catches for Ty Chandler, and you could just take the 10.5. You know, the alternate at Bet365, I believe, is like 25, 50, 75, 100, and you go up. Obviously, you ladder some of these, but I'm not suggesting the 25. I say 2+ catches and maybe just the over 10.5. I think he gets a couple catches here, and he has shown me that he's pretty explosive with the ball in his hands. So we're in on that one. I also like Jordan Addison at over 3.5 grabs at -115, over 44.5 receiving yards at -110. Those are two that I view him just like DJ Moore, really explosive with the ball in his hands. He's taken advantage of some mishaps against opposing defenses, some busted coverage, but that's part of his game. He's just extremely explosive. And again, we know that Justin Jefferson is not going to play in this game. You know, Osborne could be sneaky. His receiving yard prop is pretty low, but I'm going to go with Addison here. And I think you just take last week, tough matchup, Broncos, 3 catches, 44 yards. The previous weeks, he smashed this. Like, this number is just too low. If you go to week 7 against the Niners, which was a tough matchup, 7 for 123 and 2 scores. Green Bay, 7 for 82 and a score. Atlanta, 5 for 52. Week 10, 4 for 69. He has consistently smashed this number in 4 of the last 5 games. We give him a pass to start the season. 4 for 61 and a touchdown, 3 for 72 and a touchdown, 6 for 52. Week 5 against the Chiefs, 6 for 64 and a touchdown. He is consistently hitting this number. We have him for well over 50 receiving yards in our projections. We have him for 4.6 grabs. I like both of these numbers equally. If I had to pick one of the two, it would be like DJ Moore. Give me the receiving yards, right? The ball in his hands, explosiveness. It's like Zay Flowers, right? It's just like one play. You know, he could take it to the house. And we saw that last night from Zay. We had to sweat out the 4.5 catches at 2 units. We just got that one. Probably should have did the rushing and receiving, because I've noticed a couple end arounds lately for Zay Flowers. Get the ball in his hands, right? To watch him do his thing. Kind of like Jaden Reed for the Packers. We've seen that. So that's where I'm at. I also like TJ Hockenson, 4.5 catches, the over, but it's really, really juiced. Before I came on here, I saw -145, and the way that things are going now, people are getting their bets in. Yeah, the 4.5 or the 5.5, excuse me, is gone. You always have to double check the prop shop. You could click and it'll bring you right to the site. BetMGM is over 5.5 of plus money. If you can get that, I would jump on it, because Caesars and Bet365 and Unibet, along with Bet Rivers, has 5.5 catches, but -145. That must be a mistake. But if you can get plus money or anything, I think a little bit shorter than -135, -140, I would take the over on Hockenson. I think that he certainly gets 5 grabs, and I would lean to the over on 5.5. FanDuel is 6.5 at plus money. I'm not in on that. although we have seen TJ Hawkinson with Joshua Dobbs get a lot of targets, 12, 15, and 7 over the three games. He's got a total of 22 catches, 12 the targets, 7 and 69, 15, 11, and 134 in a touchdown, 7, 4, and 55 last week. A couple drops towards the end of the game, I think on the final drive. Denver did a really good job of kind of like blanketing TJ Hawkinson. And Chicago's kind of middle of the pack against tight ends, right? This team is good against the ground, right? The addition of Sweat, paying him all that money, that's a topic for another day. But I do like Sweat as a player. He can get after the quarterback, and he has improved their rush defense, and he has improved their overall defense over the past couple of weeks. But I certainly think that Addison will get his, and so will TJ Hawkinson. One more here, Roschon Johnson, over 31.5 rushing and receiving at minus 114. Doesn't sound like Deontay Foreman is going to play in this game. And, you know, the Vikings' rush defense is actually pretty good as well, right? This is, both teams here had been pretty decent against the run. This isn't a great matchup by any means. We have Khalil Herbert, who is playing his second game since returning from the injured reserve list. But Roschon last week, 6 for 30, didn't have any catches. 2 weeks ago, he had 4 catches on 6 targets, and 14 receiving yards. So taking the rush and the receiving, I think it could be pretty much I would say if I'm projecting touches here today, I'd say Khalil Herbert lives in the 12 to 15 range, maybe a couple targets, and then Roschon Johnson gets his 6 or 7 carries and maybe 1 or 2 catches out of the backfield. It could be garbage time stuff. Hey, it could be, you know, a drive for Khalil. They get Roschon in there. He has 1 or 2 runs. 31.5 is fairly low, I think, for what he can do on maybe 1 or 2 carries or 1 or 2 catches out of the backfield. All right, so just to kind of recap here, DJ Moore, I like the receiving yards over the catches now. The catch prop is juiced up just a touch. I like Ty Chandler over 10.5 receiving yards. I do like him to have 2 catches if you can find a good price. Again, BetMGM is offering minus 135. Most books are minus 150, minus 170. Jordan Addison over 3.5 grabs and over 44.5 receiving yards. Both decent prices there. Hawkinson, if you can get him at a decent price, at over 5.5 grabs. And then I like Roschon Johnson over 31.5 rush and receiving yards. I like the Vikings to win the football game. I like Minnesota to win the football game, and hopefully we can continue because we're on the right side of a couple coin flip games. We did not get the Bucs. I was on the Bucs against the Colts. It was a pretty good game, and the Colts are in the playoff picture, as we show here in a second. And I was not on the Giants. Man, that had to have been one of the worst football games. I watched them all. I have them all in front of me. I'm watching, but that is certainly one that I paid the least amount of attention to. It was a punt fest. Surprise, surprise, Mac Jones was benched again. And you know, the Pats found a way to lose a football game, right, on a kick at the end. No Jake Elliott there, that rookie. Let's go to the AFC playoff picture. Just take a little peek here. We got the Ravens. Man, the Ravens are just, I think we're going to see a San Fran and Baltimore Super Bowl. I really do. I think the Ravens, what they're doing historically, like 4.4 yards per attempt, but we haven't seen that sort of stuff since the 80s. Like, this is a legit defense, and it's just nasty. I don't really know what else to say. Isaiah Likely seemed to be the favorite target of Lamar Jackson last night. My biggest takeaway from the game is I think Keaton Mitchell is here, right? We've been talking about him over the past couple of weeks. I think that Keaton Mitchell could potentially be a league winner for people. We were on the rushing and receiving combined prop. I just didn't know how many carries he would get. I knew he would get a couple targets out of the backfield, and I know he's extremely explosive, but 9 rushing attempts ties the season high, 64 rushing yards for him. He caught 2 passes for 25. So his rushing and receiving yard prop combined, I believe, was at 44.5. And he ends up with 90 total yards, 89. So he's here. The Ravens go on a bye here this week, and then they wrap up LA, the Rams, that is, the Jags, and we'll get a real true feel of how legit this defense is. I mean, I think that they're legit. They've played some pretty mediocre teams, I'm not going to lie. And, you know, if you look at their schedule, I'm not, you know, the Texans week 1, and it was CJ Stroud's first game. The Bengals, of course, beating Joe Burrow the Colts, whatever. The Browns can't move the football. The Steelers can't move the football. The Titans can't move the football. The Lions, Lions went in there, and that was a big game for them, a statement game. They put Detroit in their place. They beat Arizona, big deal. They beat Seattle. I liked Seattle a lot. Seattle was, went into Baltimore kind of feeling themselves, playing really good football, just like Detroit, to put them in their place. Cleveland, they ended up losing that game. That was certainly a surprising game that they lost. And Deshaun Watson played really good in the fourth quarter. The Bengals, they beat without Joe Burrow in the second half. And then they beat a Chargers team that I think is just completely overrated. So the schedule has been kind of easy for them, but they do wrap up with the Niners. Week 16, they have Miami. Week 17, and I do believe they got the Steelers again to wrap up the season. But I think that this defense is completely legit. Lamar is having a good season. Playoff Lamar, he's got things to prove for sure. But the defense is going to keep them in a lot of football games, and now they have the number one seed. The Kansas City Chiefs started off really, really slow. It is kind of like carried over. It was like, three quarters where they hadn't scored a point. The Raiders got up on them big, and then we finally saw the game that we all wanted to see from Rashee Rice. My goodness, it's been a long time coming. And, sometimes it takes a little bit for some of these rookies. There was no Kadarius Toney. Again, not that that really matters, but Rashee Rice, I want to say that he had 10 targets last night. Yeah, 10 targets, 8 grabs, and 107 yards, scored another touchdown. Just extremely explosive with the ball in his hands. He's up to 5 receiving touchdowns this season. He's having a good year. Like, throw to him more, right? Get him more involved. It's clear that you can't count on anybody else inside this offense. Watson had the touchdown. I thought we would get a little bit more from from Justin Watson. But good news if you're a Rashee Rice owner. I know that even myself, I've been a little hesitant to roll him out. I played him a couple weeks ago against the Eagles, and it was just really not a whole lot there. And this week, I'll admit, he was on my bench in a couple of spots. I had to play him in one spot. Now moving forward, you hope that this is a trend that continues here. Green Bay, Buffalo, the Pats, the Raiders, the Bengals coming up. Let's lean. You can lean on him, Mahomes. You can lean on him. The Jags here at 8-3. The Dolphins at 8-3. The Dolphins, I made easy work of the Jets. Tyreek matchup proof, and Raheem Mostert is a league winner. That's it. He's a league winner. We got super lucky. We had attempts. We had 2 touchdowns for Mostert. We had rushing yards. We hit all of those in the bet tracker. But I think he only got run at the end of the game because I forget who came in for the Dolphins. Came in to kind of close the game and fumbled the ball, and then McDaniel went back to Raheem Mostert to close up the game. So sometimes luck has to be on your side, and it was on our side in that game. I'd say Jeff Wilson definitely needs to be on rosters. Hold him just in case. We're not sure about Devon Achane. Like, does he come back? And is this a knee injury that keeps him sidelined for a little bit? Is he limited? Wilson was getting some run. He looked good. I just think we want to have pieces of this offense. This is the time of the season, in fantasy football, but you just need to have 2 quarterbacks. You need to have your running backs handcuffed. You need to have 2 defenses. You just need to plan ahead. If something happens to your quarterback, you rush into the waiver wire. For example, I'm playing somebody this week that doesn't have a quarterback, has Lamar, doesn't have a backup quarterback. And I hate to be that guy. I love him. I think he's a good dude, but I got 3 quarterbacks on my squad. I went and picked up 2. I've been rolling with Trevor Lawrence over the past couple weeks, been hit or miss. I got Sam Howell, and I went and picked up. I looked ahead at this week's schedule, and we're going to take a look at it. We're going to take a look at week 13 in a second. We have early lines. And I saw some quarterbacks like Stafford's, I think, got Cleveland. I believe that Geno's got Dallas, got some quarterbacks on their waiver wire, then some tough spots. And I went and picked up Russell Wilson against the Texans. I don't want this opponent to – I'm going to try to do what I can to put him in a bad spot. And that opponent should be planning ahead, right? Should be looking ahead at the bye weeks, trying to now got to rush to the waiver wire and look at the quarterbacks, right? Could have picked up a quarterback a couple weeks ago. Don't put yourself in that situation. Plan ahead. Look at your bye weeks. We got a team's on bye here right before the playoffs, which is tough. So try to plan ahead. And if you're in a comfortable spot, you're going to make the playoffs. Don't just sit back and say, oh, I'll be good to go. Like, look at week 15. You got a defense that you don't like, look ahead at the projections for week 15, whatever site that you play, and just try to have your bases covered at the moment. But I think Jeff Wilson is an interesting guy to pick up, because if anything happens to Mostert, you have yourself a running back that I would rank as a top 12 running back. It's not as simple as put in the next guy and he would do what Mostert's been doing, but it's the play calling, right? It's the speed, it's the offense, and they could obviously derail your season, a team season. And yeah, I think you just want to have these home run plays like on your bench and just in case, right? The Rashee Rice, the Keaton Mitchell, Zach Charbonnet. I know he's got tough matchups, but these are guys that we've talked about and just stashing. And if you're in a comfortable spot, and we're getting down to it now. The Steelers at 7-4. How about Pittsburgh, right? Matt Canada. I think we talked in the show about Matt Canada and the, I think it was 58 games since the Steelers had 400 total yards of offense. They didn't have 400 total yards at all. Not once under Matt Canada did the Steelers have 400 total yards of offense. Isn't that remarkable? And then the first game without Matt Canada, what do? They have 400 total yards of offense, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they got outgained in every game of this season, got outgained in about 90% of the games under Matt Canada. I watched the game pretty closely. I didn't see a ton of difference in the way that they played, but I did see Kenny Pickett taking some shots in the middle of the field. Certainly having Pat Freiermuth back, certainly it's every time I say certainly, take a drink. I think it certainly helped Pickett. We have seen some good games from Pat Freiermuth, right? Safety valve there in the middle of the field. I wanted to see some shots to Pickens, and I did see some shots to Pickens. I saw a couple shots to him. I think he's just such a playmaker. You got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. I think most people thought it was going to be, you know, the turn to Jalen Warren, and guess what? Najee Harris looked pretty good. Warren had a fumble, which I think may have hurt some of the amount of touches that he had. We still were correct in the rushing yard prop that we had for him. Just got it. The two catches, you know, just got them. He had the three grabs. So, you know, again, I think it was a pretty good betting day overall. But I think if you're a Najee owner, you got to be a little bit encouraged, right? He had a good game. And the report before the game suggested that we were going to see more from Jalen Warren. I know he was super chalky in DFS, and shout out to Alex Blickle who nailed the ownership. And, you know, it was as a fade from the DFS standpoint. You always got to be careful in DFS. I know it's a different game, but, you know, some of these players that become buzzy towards kickoff, they start to see a big spike. And, you know, if you're playing in tournaments with a lot of people, I think you really want to go the other way when those things happen. But that's my big takeaway is the Steelers move the ball. They got some things done on offense. And if you're a Najee owner, you know, you feel pretty good. And I think those guys are just flex plays. You don't want to have them both, but if you have one of them, I think they're flex plays. And I still think that there's, you know, the goal line work favors Najee. And I think that's good for him. The Steelers are in this thing. They're certainly in this thing. The Browns at 7-4 after the loss this week as well. So it's just tough. Amari Cooper leaves that game with an injury. And, you know, Cleveland just having a hard time moving with football. It was one coin flip game that we were on the right side of. And the Colts are now in up the playoff picture, right? At 6-5 in the hunt. Michael Pittman is and he's having a great year. He's getting a lot of targets, a lot of looks. Jonathan Taylor is great. He's been over the past, you know, few weeks, he's been Jonathan Taylor. He's been the guy that, you know, a couple years ago that won a lot of people some fantasy football championships. He scored two touchdowns yesterday. He's a touchdown in four straight games. I just really like the usage that we're seeing from him. Didn't see a target, which I was surprised. Didn't get a target from him. Mike Evans continues to ball out. Rashad White, the injury popped up over the weekend. But, you know, he was still high, top 15 running back for us in our rankings over at FTN Fantasy. He has 100 yards on the ground. He's had a lot of tough matchups. He was one of our buy low candidates and favorite in terms of just playoff matchups. I really like Carolina this week is a good one for him, Green Bay in week 15. But not as strong through the air as he has been in the past. You know, or earlier in the season, just had the two grabs for 10 receiving yards, but a nice game from him. Chris Godwin can't find the end zone, can't score touchdowns. I don't know what's going on there. Scott Spratt joined the show on last week, and when we teed up the Thanksgiving games and we talked about some start and sits, he's talking about the unluckiness is among the leaders in red zone targets, but still can't find a way. And Josh Downs, maybe a little bit more expected, but you know, you got the targets anyways, and he was involved. It's really just two guys for the most part that Minshew's throwing the football to. The Texans, what an entertaining game that was between Houston and Jacksonville. A chance at the end there and hit the bar. Just needed an inch or two to get that field goal there. But the Texans are still very much alive in this thing. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and you know, some nice runs from Singletary as well. The Broncos, man. How about Denver? You got to give them a lot of credit. And Sean Payton, this is a team that gave up 70 points earlier in the season. Looked like they were going to be just absolutely atrocious again this season, but they have rattled off wins in five straight games, and they've beaten some decent teams, right? They beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs, and they took it to Cleveland 29-12. And they got Houston this week, the Chargers, they got the Lions, they got the Pats, and then they got the Chargers again. So this is a team that could make the playoffs. They really could find a way to get in. And I think I like them more than the Colts at this moment. And you got the Bills there at 6-6. And for Buffalo, these guys are pretty much going to have to win out. Like, it's another tough loss. Yeah, the play call, the reffing, and you can make excuses all you want for this Buffalo Bills team. And it's certainly not on Josh Allen, right? I see the memes out there. I see, you know, they changed the overtime rules, you know, ever since Josh Allen in that Chiefs game, and he's 0-5, and you know, a turnover again in this game in the fourth quarter, which put the Eagles into a situation to go ahead for the first time in the game and inside the red zone. That turnover happened, or in the territory, it put the Eagles in just about inside the red zone. I don't know what to say. I think McDermott needs to go. I think he really needs to go. I thought Allen was great in that game. A couple rushing scores, a couple rushing touchdowns. They easily could have won that football game. They dominated in the first half, and they let Philly back into the game and into the second half. So now their schedule remaining is pretty tough, man. They got the bye this week, then they're into KC to take on the Chiefs, and they got Dallas and the Chargers and the Pats, two games that they can certainly win in week 16, week 17, then they wrap up against the Dolphins. I think the division is certainly out of the picture for them, but they will have to win out, and I'm just not so sure that they will. So tough go for Bills Mafia at the moment. I mean, prevent defense, right? I mean, when you score a touchdown at the end of the game, you hope that your defense can do enough to win you a football game. And that just hasn't been the case for Buffalo. I know that a lot of people, myself included, talk about the interceptions from Josh Allen, but I thought Slay said it best, man. And I think the media is pretty hard on him. You know, when you throw the ball 40, 50 times a game, you're going to have some turnovers. They can't really get a run game going. I have liked Joe Brady turning it over a little bit, running the football a little bit more. I thought that they should have continued to run the football. Because the Chiefs ran over them, and we saw some nice runs yesterday. Mostly the plays from Cook were through the air, but tough go, man. I think McDermott is. I think he's going to be gone. I think it'll give him the rest of the year to kind of figure this thing out. But definitely, if the Bills miss the playoffs, you got to move on from him. In the NFC, the Eagles there at 10-1, the 49ers at 8-3. The 49ers waxed the Seahawks. They just look awesome. They really do. They look like the best team in football. I think that they're the way that they win games. I know the Eagles are finding ways to win games, but you know, some of their games have been like, I mean, Jalen Hurts has won four straight. And they're trailing in the second half of games. The offense has started slow. I think the defense has some issues. I think that's going to be an issue for Philadelphia moving forward as the secondary. I love Bradbury and Slay. They're certainly, you know, veteran pieces in the secondary, but you know, it's just not on them. But I think the safety play, the linebacker play, I think it's a touch slow, and they're giving up some big plays. And the Niners, they went through something there over that three-game stretch. I think part of that was, you know, no Trent Williams on the offensive line, no Debo Samuel. The last three games have been convincing W's. Jacksonville 34-3, Tampa 27-14, and then Seattle 31-13. This is what we've all been waiting for. This is what all Eagles and Niners fans have circled on their on their calendar, and the players included. These two teams will play each other. It won't be for the conference, but if Philly can find a way to win that game, I'm pretty sure they'll lock up that conference inside the NFC. If not, it's wide open, and then Philly and Dallas will be for the division in 2 weeks, because I think the Cowboys will beat Seattle this week, move to 9-3, and then Philly would be 10-2 if the Niners did win that game, and that it would be for the division. But the Niners are locked into the 1 or 2 here. The Lions are at 8-3, and Detroit's got some issues defensively as well. I think they can go toe-to-toe with any offense in football. I really do believe that, especially if they're playing at home. But the defense has some big-time issues. They're giving up some big plays, and they can't compete with the Niners, the boys, or the Eagles. I don't believe they can. The Falcons and the Saints, tough loss for the Saints, man. I'm certainly on them. I've been talking about them to win the division. It's still not out of the possibility. Like, they could still win the division, but that's one that, I mean, yikes, man. Losing to the Falcons, they lost to the Bucs earlier. I thought the Bucs, you know, if they could have squeezed that win out against the Colts, you know, they would be right here alive in the playoff picture as well. And they, you know, Derek Carr and company was rolling. I don't want to give excuses. Injuries happen, but Chris Olave leaves that game. No Michael Thomas. You know, Juwan Johnson left that game. So the options for the Saints certainly limited. They lost a couple of their players as well in that football game. Still think the Falcons are overrated. It was nice to see Bijan Robinson, another good game. We talked about him as a buy low. It's going to come around full circle here, as I didn't believe in the RB3 price tag. You know, may win a lot of consolation brackets with Bijan. He may have hurt you in the first few weeks, but he is rolling now. A couple touchdowns. He had a good game a couple weeks ago, and his playoff schedule is fantastic. Lean on him. Ritter had a couple bad throws, a pick there inside the red zone. A nice toss there, won a full-on blitz, and he hooked up with Bijan there for the second score. But the Falcons are now in the driver's seat, and the Saints got some work to do here. And they got the Lions this week, so it's not going to be an easy one for them. The Vikings at 6-5, we'll see what happens for them this week. I think that they're a playoff squad. I think that Dub's good enough to get them in the playoffs, and we'll see Justin Jefferson back at some point. The Seahawks are in trouble. I really do believe that Seattle is in trouble. They got Dallas this week. After Dallas, they got San Fran again, which is just in San Fran. It's not gonna be good for them at all. What you saw from Lockett and Charbonnet and Geno and DK last week is what you're going to get again. Really tough if you have those players and you need W's to get into the playoffs. These next couple weeks are going to be tough for you. The Eagles week 15 at home, at least the Titans, the Steelers. So some tough matchups there for the Seattle Seahawks. I could see them getting in at 8-9, right? I don't think that they'll win against Dallas, San Fran, or Philly. I could see 8-9 still finding a way to get into the playoffs. You got the Packers here at 5-6, and you got the Rams and Saints at 5-6. I think that the Rams are certainly alive, man. I really do think that they're alive, but these next 2 weeks are tough for them. They got Cleveland and Baltimore, and then Washington, the Saints, and the Giants. But if they can find a way to win one of those next two games and you see the Seahawks slip up, they can find a way to get in. As for Jordan Love and the Packers, very, very impressed with what I saw from them on Turkey Day. The 3 passing touchdowns from Jordan Love. He's got at least 2 passing touchdowns in 3 straight games. He's sneaky on the ground, 39 rushing yards. He's had at least 30 rushing yards in 4 games this year. He's been a decent fantasy quarterback. I know I've been hard on him from a real life standpoint in terms of accuracy and yards per attempt. It's really nice to see Christian Watson. We'll win a lot of consolation brackets again with Christian Watson on the squad. The schedule is okay here for Green Bay to make some noise. You know, KC this week is tough. You know, Patrick Mahomes' first ever game at Lambeau. That should be fun for him. Week 14 against the Giants is certainly a winnable game. Week 15 against the Bucs is certainly a winnable game. They'll have that one at Lambeau in Carolina to take on the Panthers. And then the Vikings will be a big one. That will be a big one for Jordan Love and company, week 16. And then week 17, I was just looking at the fantasy schedule. I got to take a look against the Bears. So the Packers are certainly alive. These guys are Packers, Rams are alive. I think it's either the Saints or the Falcons win the division, one of the two. Tough loss to the Bucs. I don't think we'll see two teams from that awful division get into the playoffs, but we could see the Packers or the Rams squeak in here over the Seahawks. So the Seahawks are in trouble. Maybe some, you know, if you want to do a little bit of a sprinkle, what's the live odds here for the Packers? The Packers to get into the playoffs. What do we got? Use the prop shop. It's not as good as I thought it would be. It's plus 125 for the Packers to make the playoffs. What about the Rams? Let's take a look at the Rams. And because I think that you may be waited out with the Rams, I think they can't afford, believe it or not, to lose a game or two to I can't focus. I can't type, I guess, and talk at the same time. I think they can afford to lose a game or two against Cleveland or Baltimore and still plus 245 to make the best. That's a decent little sprinkle there for the Rams to get in. Ultimately, I think the Seahawks still get in, but I think they get in at 8-9. I like their squad. If they can find a way to squeak out one of those games, maybe they beat the Eagles. I don't think they'll beat the Niners. Maybe they beat the Cowboys. It's possible. Dallas hasn't beaten really anybody legitimate yet this season. They beat up on some really, really brutal football teams. Here are the Super Bowl odds as we wrap up week 12. The Niners at 4-1. These are from DraftKings. We have the Chiefs at plus 425, the Birds at plus 450, the Dolphins at 8-1, the Ravens at 8-1, the Cowboys at 9-1, the Lions at 12-1, the Jags at 15-1. At a moment, they were first in the conference yesterday before the KC win. Buffalo at 50. What the massive drop off after the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Bills at 50-1, the Seahawks at 65, the Browns at 65, and the Steelers at 70-1. I've said this over the past couple weeks. I still think the value is on the Ravens. You know, 9-1, 8-1, 9-1 last week. I think this defense is legit. It really is. It sounds like Mark Andrews could come back at some point, which would be a nice boost for them. The defense is just going to keep them in every single game. That's it. They're going to keep them in games. Lamar with his legs. Justin Tucker missed a field goal yesterday in the 40-yard range. It was odd to see. But for the most part, like, this is the Ravens over the past few years. Like, lean on the defense, win games because of their defense, you know, put them in field goal situation with Tucker. This defense is like a very 2000-esque Baltimore Ravens defense. It's legit, man. Patrick Queen is one of my favorite players to watch in the NFL. I think that there's a lot of question marks with KC right now. There is, and their offense, there is. I know it's Mahomes and Kelce, and these guys can do, like, they can win games single-handedly, but I have questions about their offense. Their defense is good. This is a different Chiefs vibe, right? In years past, they've leaned on their offense to win football games. They've had to score 30 points to win football games. They actually don't have to win football games this year. Miami, yeah, they've beaten up. They're like Dallas to me. These two teams, I need to see them beat good football teams. That's it. I really do. I need to see them beat good football teams. Tua had a couple bad plays against the Jets. It's a good defense. I want to see them beat good teams. And I wouldn't give Miami the benefit of the doubt against KC or Baltimore. Dallas, I wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt against the Niners. I've seen this movie too many times. They can't beat the Niners. They could beat the Lions. They can beat the Eagles. You know, Dak did some really good things at the link. We'll see in a couple weeks if he does have a similar game. I think Dallas will get that one. It's the Niners. It's the Niners and the Bills, the Ravens. Those are the teams that I think we'll see in the Super Bowl. Those are the two squads that I think we'll see. I mean, something has to be said about Jalen Hurts at 35-4 over his last 39 games and finding ways to win football games. And that's what good teams do. And that's what they've done all year. And, you know, you can toss away the easy schedule comment, that BS from last year. Jalen Hurts is like 12-0 now and against teams that have winning records, and he's done enough, I think, to prove all the doubters wrong. And when you look at the Super Bowl odds, and that will reflect, I mean, he's plus 125. He's a massive, massive favorite here now. Miles Garrett at 150-1. I honestly think that he is, that was a tough loss. I thought if they went into Cleveland and won that, or Denver rather, and won that game, and he was a big factor again. I don't think he had a sack yesterday. You know, you could certainly make a case for him. The Browns wouldn't be 7-4 without him. That's for sure. But Hurts is the favorite. Purdy's been in and out of the conversation. Stroud at 18-1. McCaffrey at 16-1. You can make a strong case for him as well. And Tyreek Hill at 45-1. But those are the MVP odds. And we got a look here at week 13. Early looks, and if people have some questions, we can dive into them here now. So, Daily Handle, Jordan Allen, welcome in. Happy Monday. Deesh, good morning, everyone. Welcome in. Do you think the Saints can still make the playoffs or secure a wild card spot? Yeah, I kind of just dove into that. I think they still can make the playoffs. but they're not in the driver's seat anymore. And if they lose this week to the Lions, I would say probably not. I would say probably not. Who the Falcons have this week? They got the Jets. So it's still a possibility for sure, Jordan, that they can make it, but I don't like them as a wild card team. Had to drop Rice right before kickoff. We don't want to hear about that. Ugh, that's a tough one. I get it. It's a tough one. Welcome in, Albert. Dylan's in the house. Thankfully up 6.4 points in my matchup, full PPR. Opponent still has Hockenson left. However, I have Ty Chandler and Santos left. How do you like my odds? 6.5. PPR. Yeah. It's tough, man. I think you'll be fine, but I think Hockenson's going to rack up 5 or 6 grabs. So there's 6 points right there. If he scores a touchdown, you're going to be in a tough spot. The hope is, of course, that Ty Chandler and Santos can do what exactly Hockenson is going to do here for you. I think we'll see Ty Chandler catch a couple passes. I already talked about the 10.5 receiving yards. I think we'll see him have a couple of receptions here today, which will help you in a full point PPR. I give you like a 63% chance to pull off the W there. Also pick up Stafford as a backup. So my thing with Stafford, Dylan, is the next 2 matchups are extremely tough. But if you're rolling out Stroud, that's good. Again, I'll preference this. I see some people coming in the chat right now. Have backup quarterbacks in place. Have them in place. Injuries could happen. Remember Jalen Hurts last year? Went down roughly around this time. Didn't have him. Didn't really have him in the playoffs. And he came back and he wasn't the same. But to, these things could happen. An injury could happen. I mean, you feel all good all year long. You know, we talked about, if you have one of these top quarterbacks, you're always playing them. You don't need to have a backup. But once you get into the playoffs, you need to have your bases covered just in case an injury happens. Yes, you're rolling out CJ Stroud, but I do think it's a good idea to have a backup here. So I think this is fine. You know, you're not playing him against Cleveland. You're not playing him against Baltimore. But week 15 against Washington, it's like the best possible matchup you can have, right? And if Kupp is fine and healthy, and he really did power through yesterday, it was a disappointing game from him. They didn't really need him. Kyron, how about Kyron Williams? Over 13.5 rushing attempts and over 57.5 rushing yards. What a steal that was. Not going to get that anymore. But you got to feel pretty good about having Kyron because the volume was there. And my goodness, it was a good matchup. But he's looking like a really good player, catching passes out of the backfield. But yes, have these guys, as you say. Only week for Stroud that worries you is round 2 of the playoffs. If you get there versus Cleveland that week, Stafford has the Saints. Is he worth a play? I would play Stafford over the Saints, and I know it's CJ Stroud and what he can do, but that Cleveland defense is legit. It really is. I'll take a look at week 15 for you now and just to see if there's a better option, somebody that could be available for you. Let's see. What do we got? Yeah, even Goff against Denver, like I don't love it. Gino against Philly. I still think I'd roll out Stafford against the Saints. The Saints are a good pass defense too. Baker against Green Bay. We're not going Carr against the Giants, even though it's a good one. We're not doing Young. Jordan Love against Tampa. It's okay. The Bucs have been a bad pass defense. I may even lean Jordan Love, to be honest with you, at home against the Bucs. That's probably one I like a touch more than Stafford against the Saints. But I really do like Stafford against Washington week 1. I think you're fine there. My gut does say Love over Stafford. But against the Saints and those 2 pass catching receivers that he has and Kyron, I think you're okay there. Right idea though to plan ahead. It's perfect. Jonathan Mason in the house. Bills are going to lose the next 2, KC, Dallas. I agree. I think they're finished. Do I drop Sam Howell for Jordan Love? Okay, so let's take a look at the matchups here. So Sam Howell got Miami this week, which is okay. But you got that week 14 bye you're going to have to deal with. So if you need to get into the playoffs, you may need to have both of these guys on your roster. As for Love, the bye has already happened for him, right? So you got KC this week, which I don't like. I would go Howell this week, and then you can make this. Then you can really turn it over to Love. You can go week 14 against the Giants with Love, week 15 Tampa with love. Howell's, you know, he's still among the leaders in pass attempts and passing yards. He's chucking the football quite a bit. But yeah, I would have a second, you know, you can't deal with that bye, right? You don't want to deal with that bye week 13. So I think you need to pick up a second quarterback now. If you can afford to have two, I don't think it's a bad idea to have both of these guys. And as I mentioned, Sam Howell this week has got Miami, which is okay. I would roll him out this week. You know, you see they're 9-point dogs, but they're going to have to pass the football. And the Dolphins have given up some big passing plays. I think part of those statistics are skewed because of, you know, they're up in games and that's what happens. But the other team has to throw the football. But I would roll with Howell this week, but pick up Love too, because, you know, you're going to need to have somebody the following week. If Myles Garrett would happen to go on IR, Cleveland defense would be terrible. Quarterback, I would probably move on. Dean, if there was no Myles Garrett on the Cleveland Browns, they would be a 2-win team. And I think that's the definition of most valuable player, in my opinion. Like the Eagles, the defense has struggled, but they've gotten contributions from Swift. Man, he looked good again last night. DeAndre Swift was in really good for the Eagles, and I wish they would lean on him a little bit more early in games. And the back-to-back weeks now, they start to give him some run and some touches in the second half, and it's opened up their offense. Use him more, man. He's a game changer. But they got their sound. The thing with CMC, like, he's having a great season too. You take away CMC, they're a playoff squad. They may even have the same record. I fully believe that, because we've seen it over the past couple of years with Elijah Mitchell, or insert X Mostert, or insert Wilson. I'm not saying that it's that easy, and CMC is clearly ahead of those backs, but man, the defense is legit. Fred Warner, Trent Williams on the line, the play calling, Ayuk and Debo and Kittle, all of these players, they're studs. They're all around studs. You know, Mahomes certainly probably is the most valuable player in the league. The Chiefs wouldn't be anywhere without him. And the Eagles wouldn't be anywhere. You can't just win football games with Mariota. And last year we saw what happened to the Eagles when they lost Jalen Hurts, and they had the Gardner Minshew came in and lost some football games for them. But Myles Garrett is a definite, you know, game changer. Bill's window is certainly closing. Take another drink for saying the word certainly. Definitely closing. And, you know, that rookie contract and this, I think they're up against the cap coming up too. Buffalo's waiting for the lacrosse season to start December 1st. Good question here. JP, you know what? I was really, really, really impressed with Jordan Love over the past couple weeks. And again, I know I've been really hard on him. The game against the Steelers too, I thought he made a couple nice plays, and that's a good defense. The Chargers, I was 322 and two touchdowns. I was like, you know what? It's just the Chargers, and they're brutal. But the way that he marched them down the field and hit Romeo in the end zone, I thought that was really good. And then last week against the Lions in a hostile environment on Thanksgiving, the first play of the game was a deep shot to Christian Watson. Let's keep in mind with Jordan Love that he has the youngest wide receiver / tight end room in football, the most inexperienced room in the game. Romeo is a second-year wide receiver. Christian Watson is a second-year wide receiver who's hardly played in 2 years, like full go playing. I'm not talking about 55, 65% of the snaps. I'm talking about like 75, 85% of the snaps. You can count on two hands how many times that's happened for Christian Watson. Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrove, rookie. Croft, rookie. Like young, without Aaron Jones for most of the season. AJ Dillon running through mud. Jordan Love does look like he's turned the corner. I think if you're a Packers fan, you have to be a little bit optimistic of what you've seen and pleased. Definitely pleased with what you've seen. And man, if he can find a way to get this team in the playoffs, wow. I would be one of the better storylines in football this year. And good on Jordan Love, because I know he's taken a lot of heat and he's been sitting behind Rodgers for a few years. It's been really nice to see. Let's see if he can hang around Mahomes on the other side of this game. And then there's some winnable games down the stretch. Giants, Bucks, Vikings be a tough one for him. Carolina, but all winnable games there after KC, man. Ooh. Starting QB, Mahomes. Okay, so Quincy, you're just looking for a backup? Yeah, just then you can go with Stafford or Love, man. I think I like Love. Kyron, league winner. I traded them to you, right? you're probably going to come out on top of that. Both of our guys got hurt. I traded you Kyren, Kyren got hurt, and then I took Andrews from you, and Andrews got hurt. My whole thing with Kyren, and I see the skill set there, was I was worried if his body could hold up if given like that amount of work that he was given. I'm not saying that's why he got hurt. These things happen. But my goodness, he's when he's playing, he's definitely an RB1 and certainly in the league winner conversation. Okay, let's take a look at week 13 here, and then we're gonna move past it. So the Cowboys at -8 here against the Seahawks. You know, I would have Rico. You know, if I was a Tony Pollard owner, I would have Rico Dowdle just in case. You know, Pollard went down. It's handcuffing running backs. After this week, the schedule does get tough for Dallas, Philly, Buffalo, Miami, and Detroit. And, you know, three of those teams are in the bottom 10 of allowing fantasy points to backs, but I would have them. Cooks is trending up. He really is. He's got touchdowns in like four of his last five or so. He's a guy that I think, you know, he's a flex play the way that Dak Prescott is playing. I think he's certainly worthy of a flex play. And right now I do have Seattle, you know, I have Seattle covering this game. I think that they'll keep this thing close. But right now they're dealing with some injuries. I would roll out DK. I would roll out Tyler Lockett and Charbonnet if there's no Kenneth Walker. I would not play Geno. It's going to be a tough one for Geno. He's not 100% at the moment. Could see some sort of backdoor cover. For the Colts and the Titans, this is another one here where they can lean on Derrick Henry. I expected a little bit more from Derrick Henry just in terms of rushing yards because it was against Carolina. We had two units on the over 15.5 rushing attempts. We got there. I laddered him to 20 carries. We were too shy. I did have the touchdowns. It's, you know, it's this time of the season where they lean on Derrick Henry, and hopefully, you know, you're making the playoffs with Derrick Henry. You got the Texans in the playoffs twice. You got some decent matchups there. And in all four wins this season, he's had 18 plus carries, and three of the four he's had 20 plus. So, you know, the game script, of course, if they're up or they're in games, they can lean on him a little bit more. Hopkins, you know, it's been very, very boom or bust for him. Will Levis has been very, very inaccurate after the first game. On the other side, Pittman, right? He's a borderline wide receiver one, especially in PPR leagues, just getting a ton of volume. You like Taylor, and you like Joshua Downs as a flex play. I think, you know, dealing with the knee injury, it's really just two guys that Gardner Minshew throws the football to there. I like the Colts here as the early lead at -2. The Chargers and the Pats, -5.5. I never like to lay this kind of number for a Chargers team, especially on the road. But oh man, you know, you got to pick these games in your spread pool. You have to go one side of it. I'll lean with the Chargers here, but this doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel great, but New England is, they're not doing anything offensively, no quarterback play. You just, you know, Keenan Allen will be the focus for Bill Belichick to take it away. I think Eckler and Herbert will do enough there. I don't know if Palmer's ready to return, but he's a guy that is a decent little stash for you as well. The Broncos and the Texans here, I'm not going to ignore what Denver's doing, man. I have a lean at +3 to Denver. CJ Stroud has done some good things for sure. This Broncos team, like, confidence is a scary thing, and they're playing really good football at the moment. So, you know, all these guys are owned at this time of the season. We're not really going after anybody in the waiver wire. We haven't been starting Jerry Jeudy for weeks. Cortland Sutton, almost another touchdown there for him yesterday. Javonte Williams has been getting some run. Russ, I think, is a really good option as a top 12, top 15 quarterback. Top 12, I think, this week with some teams on bye. And CJ Stroud, you know, tough spot, but you have him, you know, you play him, and you're definitely playing Tank Dell and Nico Collins. And for Miami, definitely like the 9. Probably, you know, that may even be gone in a moment or two. Jeff Wilson, have him, you know, just have him just in case. Raheem Mostert, Tyreek, Waddle, you're playing all these guys. Tua. On the other side, I would play Terry. Dotson's had some okay games. Curtis Samuel's coming off a monster game against Detroit with like double-digit targets, had 100 yards through the air. You know, it's a spec ad type deal, but I don't know if you can feel great about rolling him out with confidence. Dallas has historically taken away Terry McLaurin, so maybe it's a Terry game, but of course you have the secondary in Miami playing a little bit better lately since the addition of Ramsey's had a couple picks. So all those plays are risky plays. But I think Howell is a low end quarterback one, and I would play Terry as like a low end wide receiver three or flex. And if you're in a tough spot, I would lean Dotson over Curtis Samuel. I think there's more touchdown equity for him. But in a PPR league, I would lean with Curtis Samuel. Atlanta and the Jets, you know, you're playing Bijan, you're playing all these guys. I say all these guys, you know what, maybe you're not playing Drake London. I think that, you know, you could find some better options this week over Drake London, just given the Jets secondary. And on the Jets side of things, it's Garrett Wilson and Jamar Chase. These are guys you just play because of the ceiling, even though the quarterback play is so bad. Boyle, man, he was actually worse than Zach Wilson. Breece Hall, Robert Saleh's calling him out, right? Robert Saleh is a BS bonehead comment, right? It's just, come on. Breece Hall's trying to make things happen for you, right? I would play him. I just don't like him as much as it's just the situation. I get into this conversation with Jake all the time on the Serious Show and All In Football. It's my thinking is I like Saquon and I like Breece. I think they both have top 12 upside, but I'm not ranking them as top 12 running backs because they don't score any points. Their offenses are brutal. So I don't have them aggressively as ranked, but they're RB2s. You got what you got at this point. You roll them out. I don't like if you had Kyren, great. Like I would play Kyren over Breece Hall and Saquon and these, you know, I think you play Garrett Wilson. I do like Garrett Wilson more than I like Drake London this week. If you had both of those guys, it would lean that way. The Detroit side of things, Jameson Williams is kind of trending up. I hope that, you know, he gets a few more looks and a few more targets. I don't think he's trustworthy just yet. You hope that Chris Olave is back. If Chris Olave is not back, I'm not crazy about starting anybody on the Saints, even though volume, you know, Rashid Shaheed left that game as well with an injury. Kamara, you're playing both Detroit running backs. You're playing Laporta. Arizona, you know, I play Hollywood. That's really it. Trey McBride, of course, and James Conner. Kyler, tough spot for him, but, you know, the upside is certainly top 12 quarterback for the Steelers. You're playing both running backs. This is a really good matchup for both of these running backs, Najee and Jaylen Warren. And Najee had a good game last week. And I would play Pickens. I have to play him in a spot this week. I'll have Deontay ahead of him, but I will have Pickens as like a flex play this week. Carolina, no Panthers are touching my roster. Frank Reich, man, how you fired one and done, fired him. Is this on him? The play calling is really, really bad in Carolina. Fourth and sixth, they had a pass behind the line of scrimmage yesterday. Like the play calling is really bad. I guess the owner decided to take Bryce Young over CJ Stroud. We've been team CJ Stroud since well before the combine. I think everybody in Carolina needs to be fired. Anybody who said that they liked Bryce Young over CJ Stroud, see you later. Bye-bye. I would fire them all. All the scouts. If it was the owner that was pushing for it, I'd take a hard look in the mirror instead of blaming everybody else. I'm not saying that Bryce Young's career is going to be a bust, but it's clear. It's so clear to me that CJ Stroud was the better pick. And yeah, maybe he has some better options and a better play caller. And you gotta incorporate that into everything. And the offensive line is really bad in Carolina. Not ready to say that this is a bust career for Bryce Young. Right? Peyton Manning didn't have a good first year either. But I think that Frank Reich is the scapegoat here. And I think he's a good play caller anyways. San Fran and Philly, the Niners here is 2-point favorites. Wow, this changed in a hurry. I thought last night I looked and Philly was a point favorite. Interesting. Okay. You're playing all the guys. Everybody inside that game. We'll break that one down a little bit later on in the week. We had some NHL picks and we're going to move on. We're going to get out of here. Cleveland and LA, five seems high. Five does seem high, but Cleveland can't move the football. They can't score points. So we're going to lean with the Rams there. We like the Packers. We like the Chiefs at 6.5. Rashee Rice, like, you know, he has a dud game. That would kill us. It's been inconsistent. But I think what we saw last week, we're buying into more of what we saw from Rashee Rice than Christian Watson last week. But if you're at a pinch, right, I would rank them Watson, Reed, and Dubs, although Dubs has been the guy that's been scoring some touchdowns. You play Jamar Chase hoping that, you know, he catches a couple deflected passes, which happened yesterday, right? The ceiling is great. The quarterback play is not great, but you play Jamar Chase. I just don't have him ranked as a wide receiver one. It's just like I said about Garrett Wilson. The ceiling is there. You hope that these guys score touchdowns. And on the Jacksonville side of things, Christian Kirk and Ridley, good games from them. Etienne kind of quiet. Some of the play calling with Doug Peterson. I like Trevor Lawrence, a big quarterback, man. I think he got to sneak there, at least have some wide receivers on the field. I'm talking about the play at the end of the first half where Etienne got stuffed there. Anyways, I do like Jacksonville to win that football game. So we're going to get out as we've gone a little long. We're a little sluggish. So I'm going to put this up one more second. But for those listening on iTunes and Spotify, I got a couple NHL picks for you guys. Haven't done this in quite some time. It's been mostly football on this show and Dangle Bet Sally, but we got some NHL stuff for you guys. I got the DFS article that I got to wrap up for tonight. I like Pasternak at over 4.5 shots. A good matchup here against the Columbus Blue Jackets, among the leaders in shot attempts allowed and shots at 5 and 5 per 60. I like Alex Pietrangelo at over 2.5 shots at plus 105. No Shea Theodore, no Alex Martinez. We had this one the other night. And he had the 3 shots. So a big boost in terms of usage, first power play and things like that. So the plus money for Pietrangelo. I like Tom Wilson at over 2.5 shots. He's been hitting over the past couple of games, and it's a really good spot against Washington, or against San Jose. They're one of the worst team by far in the NHL. Also like Tom Wilson for a point at minus 135. The Capitals are shorthanded. No TJ Oshie. So instead of just jumping in on Washington's playing really good. So instead of the puck line stuff and in 60, for me, I am just going to take some of these props. So Wilson at 2.5 shots, Wilson for a point, Evgeny Kuznetsov for an assist at plus 120. And I'm taking Ovechkin. I know it's been a quiet year for him, only 5 goals. But you know, when you get a matchup like this against the Sharks, you could rack up 4 or 5 points in a hurry. And he's plus 180 to have a 2-point night. And he's minus 145 for 4 shots. I do have the Capitals in 60, the Rangers in 60, and the Bruins and the Blue Jackets at under 6.5. So again, Pasternak 5 shots, Pietrangelo 3, Wilson 3, Wilson point, Kuznetsov assist, Ovechkin 2 points, Ovi 4 shots, Capitals in 60, Rangers in 60. That's in regulation, and the under between the Bruins and the Blue Jackets. What do I do for T. Higgins? Do I drop him? Yeah, it depends what's out there. Hit me up and let me know what your waiver wire looks like. You know, I have him in a couple spots, and I don't know why I still have him, but the waiver, I don't feel like there's anyone that's better than him on the waiver wire. Of course, we know that Joe Burrow isn't coming back. So I would, this is something that I would probably consider doing. Like, Jameson, I know that JP, you're a Lions fan, so you're really in tune with this. And I've seen this as well, that Jameson Williams is trending up. I know that they got Donovan Peoples-Jones, but Jameson Williams is trending up. And I saw a couple, it wasn't just, you know, deep shots from him down the field. You know, when they were trying to get back into that game last week, they were using him on some slants and stuff. So, you know, that's one that could pay off for you, or, you know, maybe come playoff time, we're seeing 4 or 5 targets consistently, and the 4 or 5 targets that Higgins gets are just not going to be great inside this offense. And you know what? They may just shut him down because the Bengals are done. And once they lose this week, they may just shut everyone down. So I don't know who's available in your waiver wire, Quincy, but you're not going to feel good about playing Higgins. Goddard going to push. Yeah, Goddard's going to push. Lane Johnson's going to push to play against the Niners. I don't think that Goddard, I mean, he fractured his arm 3 weeks ago. It's really tough for him as well. I thought I saw in the 60s last week, but I could be wrong. But 65, 63 in back-to-back weeks is encouraging for sure, right? He's a first-round talent for a reason. Just some injuries and some other things have kind of slowed him down. So I don't think that there's a ton here on the waiver wire. Like, again, hopefully you just have, you know, your team in place. But Quincy, since you're hanging out here, I'll take a look at week 13 and it. If there's anybody here that could be like Brandon Cooks, like I honestly probably would drop Higgins for Cooks, right? Link to Dak, quarterback is playing really good. The offense is playing good. You're just never going to feel great about Higgins. Josh Downs, if he was available, I would make that swap. Rashee Rice, I would make that swap. Any of the Packers wide receivers, I would make the swap. I don't know if I'd do it for Curtis Samuel. Maybe if you're in a full point PPR, maybe. But Brandon Cook certainly at 42% ownership. I don't think I would do Zay Jones. Yeah, there's probably some guys out there that are available to you. Are Spears and Hunt droppable on this team below for a backup QB and tight end team? You got Stroud, you got Pollard, Cook, Mixon, you got Khalil Hunt and Spears. Diggs, Ayuk, Hollywood, Downs, Reed. You got McBride. Yeah, I think you're going to roll into the playoffs with Pollard, Cook, and then probably Diggs, Ayuk, Hollywood, Downs. Like, I'd probably play those ones over Mixon. I know he's getting a lot of touches and all the usage and stuff, but I may just take the upside of Hollywood or Downs. Yeah, so you want to get a backup quarterback and a backup tight end. I think it's probably a good idea to I would drop one of the two. I think I would drop Hunt. I think I would drop Hunt. I like some of the matchups for the Titans. I really do like having the backups, you know, more so if you had these, you know, if you had a Ford or you had a Henry, I would say keep those guys just in case you don't want to, you know, beat anyone to the waiver wire. You just have them if an injury happened. But I think it may be more important for you, and this depends on your waiver wire, Dylan. Like, if there's like five or six quarterbacks that are hanging around the waiver wire, then maybe it's more important to keep these running backs. But I do think having a backup quarterback and a backup tight end at this time of the season is important. But also, there probably isn't a great backup tight end that is available to you. Like, there's probably like Isaiah Likely available. You know, Pat Freiermuth, if he's available, you know, I could pick up him over McBride. I do like Kate Otten, but I'm not going to drop a Hunt or a Spears for a Gerald Everett or a Higby. Now, both of those guys did score touchdowns, but I would have the backup quarterback as opposed to the backup tight end. It's kind of where I'm at. But again, it's all about context and what you got. What if I drop Higgins for Noah Brown and Joshua Palmer? Yeah, I mean, both of those guys are hurt. But I would like, could you pick up Palmer, put him on IR, and then drop Higgins, pick up Palmer, put him on IR, and then pick up another body? Could you do something like that? If you have an IR spot, then you get two ads out of here. You put Palmer on IR, and then you have Noah Brown. I you know what? And it seems weird to say, but you got to take the name off the back of the jersey. And Higgins is a much better wide receiver than those two guys, but the quarterback play is a lot better for Brown and for Palmer. So yeah, I would do it, Quincy. I would do it, man. It's really tough. Yeah, I don't know about AT Perry. I mean, he should, especially if there's no Palmer. If there's no Palmer and there's no Shaheed, you would expect Perry to get some looks. And, you know, maybe a flex play this week if you're in a tough spot, you know, you can put him out. I expect a little bit more from him. He had two targets, one catch for 7 yards, and that one catch for 7 yards came on the final drive. And Olave and Shaheed didn't play at all in the second half. So I expected a little bit more. I'm kind of surprised, but yeah, it's a good call, and he will be a hot waiver wire pickup. But I don't know if I'm comfortable playing him. If all of those guys are out for the Saints, then yeah, on a week where there's some teams on bye, you need to replace Zay Flowers. You know, you have T. Higgins, you could do something like that. I'm going to get out of here, guys. Good luck tonight. You know, hopefully you take down those matchups. You have any questions on the waiver wire, hit me up at Chris Meany on Twitter, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes and Spotify, you can hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page, leave a comment there, and I will circle back on these videos and answer any question that you guys have. And, yeah, good luck. Enjoy the game. Let the winners be yours. We got DJ Moore over 4.5 catches and over 60 receiving yards. You got Ty Chandler over 10 receiving yards. We have Jordan Addison over 3 catches and over 44 receiving yards. Like Roschon Johnson over 31.5 combined rush and receiving. I like the Vikings to win the football game. Appreciate you, JP. You're a stud, dude. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.